for the historical record, can you remember roughly when it was that a doctor said to you, what do you want a blood testing equipment for?
I would say he said this to me in about 1984, I would think, something like that. Maybe a bit, 1 or 2 years either way, but I think it was 84. The problem was at the time, I think, that these machines were very expensive. They'd only just come on the market, and you had to pay for the test strips yourself, which they're extremely expensive, as the National Health Service well knows. So I suspect that was what was behind his advice, but truthfully, it would have been far better had I gone on to one immediately. I could have saved myself a lot of grief in the future.
Was this a GP or a diabetic clinic doctor?
This was a doctor at the diabetic clinic, although in those days he was fairly junior, to be fair to him.
Can you remember when you stopped having to pay for strips?
I don't think I actually went on to a test machine until strips were available. They've always been roughly a pound a strip, which is very expensive to do it four times a day. So I was very thankful that they came. The National Health Service decided very soon on to provide these strips on the service. So I didn't really change over until they were available. Probably for a couple of weeks I did, but I didn't test four times a day as I do now.
Can you now talk about your career and the different jobs you've done and how they've been affected by your diabetes?
Well, I've worked as a chemical engineer all my life. Initially, as I say, I was working in the food industry. When I was first diagnosed, this had rather a radical effect on my future in the food industry, because I was told I could not work abroad again. I could not go abroad on my own, which I used to enjoy working abroad. I was working as part of a so-called tomato paste team, where I would spend the whole of the summer away every year working in Southern Europe, which was rather nice, although you didn't get any free time. The only time you got a day off was when it rained, which was very rare. So it was all very nice working in a nice warm climate and having sunshine all the time, but you never saw it. After that, I decided to have a change in career because of this situation. Also, the fact I was working away from home. I found a job nearer to where I actually lived in Birmingham, and I started working in the chemical industry. I was extremely happy in that job. They knew I was diabetic when I got the job, so there were no surprises. I worked for the same company for 23 years. I had an extremely happy career there, although I probably should never have worked there for 23 years with hindsight. After those 23 years, I was made redundant.
Before we go on to what you did next, during those 23 years, did you have many hypos at work?
In the beginning, I had quite a few hypos at work, yes. Usually associated with very late nights or no sleep nights the following day. Having a few drinks, a few not necessarily being operative word, because I was relatively young at the time, and I still lived in the university area, and I used to know a lot of people who were students, and we used to go out and live it up a bit on weekdays, particularly Thursdays. So my hypos generally happened on a Friday morning, and I had several of them. I suppose I had a lot in the early. Well, not a lot, but I'd have one every 3 months, which is a lot for me. It was unacceptably high, particularly in a work situation. People don't. Well, I always think that an employer will not put up with that. But if they employed you under those circumstances, they don't have a great deal of choice. But later in my career, I realised that they will not put up with that.